And I'm going to start the recording. There we go. So welcome back, everybody. Truth About Sales. This is week number 9. We just have this week and 3 more, 4 weeks to go. So you're about 2/3 through the curriculum. And again, we've already done all the heavy lifting. So you've made it this far. You've done all the wax on, wax off. We've done the heavy drills. We've worked on all those tools. Now we're at the place where we're getting the big payoff. The big payoffs are coming now. And the tools and the techniques, I feel, are easier and have higher rewards. So with that in mind, let's do a little feedback. Last week, we did binds. We did conditional binds, which are if-then, if-case-then lead. We did single binds, the more you pace, the more you lead. And we did double binds, do you want this lead or that lead? So before we jump into some new stuff today, any thoughts, any questions, any ahas, any breakthroughs, anything cool that came out of your experience from last week? What did you get? What did you like? Have you been able to put it into play yet? Has it changed the way that you see things or people or engage with others? Anything? Questions, comments, anything? *6 on your phone. Jump in here and tell me how that's working for you.
Joel, this is Douglas.
We'll jump into new stuff. All right, Douglas, what's up, man?
Well, I'm calling myself out on my laziness because
okay.
I didn't write sentences, and I'm kicking myself because I didn't make 20 contacts a day, and I'm kicking myself, Joel, because yesterday I made 5 contacts. Now, let me see. For a total of 7 in a week, and of the 7, I've put buyers in touch with the seller, and then I made 2 appointments, and that's in 7 contacts. And I don't do this every day.
Dude, with the kind of results that you get, with the kind of close ratio that you have, like I hear from you all the time that you made 4 contacts and took 2 listings. You made 5 contacts and got 3 contracts. So with those kind of results, why aren't you making 10 contacts a day or 20 contacts a day? Dude, there's no reason for you not to be taking 3 or 4 listings a week. A week.
There's no reason. No. So I want to make a commitment to the group that I will do my sentences every day and I will make 20 contacts a day. And Joel, I'm going to send you a check for $1,000.
Okay.
And if I don't do go somewhere nice for dinner.
Sure. Trust me, man. I can spend $1,000.
Well, I mean it, man.
So who's gonna hold you accountable to the 20? Who's gonna hold you accountable, right? So one thing we know for sure is we can't hold ourselves accountable. I can't hold myself accountable. I find something else to do and I don't do it. I do something else. So who's gonna hold you accountable to do this, Douglas?
Well, I can just have you all hold me accountable, and I'll report to the Facebook page.
Okay. Done.
All right.
Done.
Okay.
Well, cool. Thanks for calling yourself out, man. Bravo. Good of you to responsible like that.
It feels good to do it. Well, Joel, the funny thing is, and now I understand why you don't use scripts, because when you don't use scripts, the prospect will tell you what they want from you and how they want it.
Exactly. This is the number one reason I don't use scripts, because the client doesn't have them. And when I use a script turns out like, can I force the appointment or not? But when I don't have a script, I find out what do they want, where are they going, what do they need, I find out everything. With a script, I find out, was I able to force an appointment or no? That's it.
Well, this guy that I talked to yesterday told me all of the agents that called him. I had this Keller Williams guy say this. I had this Windermere guy say this. And I had this other guy say this. And he was telling me all along how he wants to hear it.
Well, because you got to the inside. So the other agents never got past the barrier. They just said, hey, it's Fred Smith from ABC Realty. Let me tell you what we're doing, blah, 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 blah. And so what he did was he got that they were scripting him. What you did was you were able to get connected, get in rapport. And so he opened, oh, let me tell you what these other agents did. This one said this, this one said that, right? That's the sign that you got in rapport. He was telling you what was going on the inside. Good job, Douglas.
And then he told me what he wanted to know. And then he basically said, if you can help me know this, I'll work with you. And so I have an appointment on Friday.
Bravo. Bravo. Good job, Douglas. So again, everybody else listening, this is why I'm not a fan of scripts, because when you ask good questions and authentically listen to their answers, the customer will always tell you the answer. They'll always give you the key to close them, always. You just got to listen. Right on, Douglas. I think Jimmy had a question or a comment or something too.
So can you hear me?
There you are. Hi, Jimmy.
So so what happened was that I was prospecting a couple of days ago. So I asked the client, I said, would you like to meet me at my office at 4 o'clock, or should we meet at that time?
Good. So did everybody else catch that? He said, should we meet at 4 o'clock, or should we meet at some other time? What was that? That was a double bind from last week. And what happened, Jimmy?
The guy came back to my office.
Okay, so what Jimmy just did, this is a double bind, so let's back, that was last week. Let's back up about 4 or 5 weeks when we did assumption. Remember, we did temporal presuppositions, the structure of assumption. So not only did Jimmy use a double bind, he used it in a really innovative way. He assumed there's going to be an appointment. So would you like to come to my office at 4? Or would some other time be better for you? Again, Jimmy, did you care what time the appointment was? Yeah, not really. Today, tomorrow, I don't care. You got the appointment. How easy was that? Nice job, Jimmy. Nice job. See how easy that is? I love it. I love it. Thank you for sharing that, Jimmy. Anybody else? Question, comment, aha, breakthrough, anything? All right. Let's do some new stuff. So new stuff. Our topic today is cause and effect. Maybe one of my favorite topics, actually, that just the structure of causality and cause and effect is so powerful and so effective, and I think for me, so empowering to use that I hope that you love it as much as I do. And in, 20, 30 minutes, you're going to have a whole new understanding on how we absorb realities. Before we do that, let's do a little piece on, as we do pretty much every week, on the rapport game. So last week in the rapport game, we did body language. So remember, there were three pieces of body language: gross body movements, which is moving an arm or a leg, stand up, sit down, cross your legs, lean in, lean out, put your chin in your hands, cross your arms, right? Gross body movements. And those are 20 to 30 second delay, casual, relaxed. Then there's facial expressions and shoulder shrugs. Shoulder shrug. Those are no delay. They smile, I smile. They frown, you frown, right now. You look at the CMA and they go, oh my God, they make that face. You do it too, right away. And then lastly is hand gestures. Do something similar, same size, same scope, similar, comparable, only when it's your turn to talk. All right, that was last week. Again, step into those. And remember, the more that we are able to mirror and match their style and the way in which they present, the more we show up as friend, family, part of my tribe, safe, trustworthy. That's huge. All right, so today our take on the rapport game is, because today we're talking about cause and effect and causality, today we're going to talk about the cause of body language. So what does it mean when you're talking to somebody and they cross their arms? They cross their arms in front of their chest. What does that mean? Well, many people say It means they're protecting themselves. It means they're protecting their heart, right? They got their hands in front of their chest. Professional speakers, Tony Robbins kind of people, will say whenever you're speaking, especially if you're speaking to a group, never do that because it looks like you're closed, right? Keep your arms open. Well, when you're talking to somebody and they cross their arms, does it mean they're closed to your message? Does it mean they don't like your message and they're protecting themselves from it? The answer to that is maybe. Maybe. Maybe it means they're cold. Maybe. I don't know. So the same thing with what if somebody's really fidgety and they're tapping their leg, tap, 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 or tapping their foot, tap, 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 tap. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. Maybe it means that you're going too slow for them. Maybe. Maybe it means they really have to go to the bathroom. Maybe it means they're impatient. Maybe it means you're off topic. What does it really mean? I don't know. I'm kind of setting up and destroying these, like crossing the arms means this, crossing the legs means that, leaning forward on your elbows means that you're focused and intent, lean back means that you're being thoughtful and pondering and considering. I don't know if that's what those things mean. It could be. It's common, but not necessarily what they mean. So I just like to encourage you to look and to pay attention and see if you can identify what it means in this particular case. Now, I don't know if it means they cross their arms, if it means they're closed or they're cold or they're whatever. I don't know. The query, though, is for you to ask the question, I wonder why they're doing that. I wonder what's causing this. And this goes all the way into other behaviors. What happens when somebody gets mad and they raise their voice and they yell? Maybe you're calling expired and you get somebody who's really ticked off. What's causing them to behave that way? Well, I don't know. It could be a lot of things. Yet if you can figure out what's causing that behavior, it gives you a massive advantage. Massive. So the reason I set up this example like this is because I'm encouraging you to not fall for, well, whenever I see this, it means that, right? That's the script example. Whenever they say this, you say that. That's one-dimensional, and it works once in a while. They cross their arms, it means they're closed. Yeah, it means that sometimes. Not all the time. So, and this is why people say sales is a numbers game, because they're using techniques that say when the client does this, it means that. And if you have one answer for that behavior, now it's a numbers game. You're right 2 out of 100, 5 out of 100. Yet when you take all of that as feedback, hey, they crossed their arms. I wonder what's going on over there. Now I'm being a little more observant. Do they look cold? Are they acting cold? Was it something I said? Are there other signs that show their behavior is moving towards self-protection? When those behaviors put you into curiosity mode, instead of thinking that, oh, well, I know what that means, it means this. When you believe, I know what that means, it must mean that they're closed, you're no longer listening. That's fatal in this line of work. Instead, when these things become feedback, when their behavior becomes feedback, wow, the client did this, I wonder what's going on. That's a clue. Maybe it means this, maybe it means that. That causes us to be much more open-minded. That causes us to be considerate and inquisitive. That's the thing that has you be a ninja in being able to read and connect with your clients in a really profound way. So, all right, so that's the body language thing for today, is not just to mirror and match, right? They have a gross body movement, I do a gross body movement. but to start to look and to start to look for the cause. Say, for example, a client keeps pushing their glasses fall down, they push their glasses up, they keep fidgeting with their glasses. Is that because their glasses don't fit, or is it a nervous habit? Are they got a bug in there because they're having allergies, because it's a nervous fidget? I don't know what it means. It could mean a lot of things. Yet it's great feedback. And so last week was just to mirror and match that to have the client be comfortable. This week our tool is to, you know, what does that really mean? I wonder what's causing them to do that. By the way, if you study at all any sort of clinical psychotherapy or clinical hypnotherapy, one of the things that they tell you in trying to solve problems for people is get to cause. Dig, dig, dig until you find the cause. I don't care about their behavior. I want to know what's causing that behavior. The fact that they're doing that behavior is a symptom. That's not telling me much. What tells me a whole bunch, however, is the cause. Get to the cause. Okay. Questions, thoughts, comments, anything about that? Does that make sense? Right. I want to know what's causing that behavior. Right. The fact that your child is misbehaving in school, that's a symptom. I want to know why are they misbehaving. That, now I can fix that. Now that now
I have
there's
a
something
question.
I can work with. Yes, please.
So should we refrain from making any kind of assumption if we can't figure out why they're behaving a certain way? One thing that I notice with myself is that I'll be hyper aware of someone's behavior or gestures, but then I won't understand or have clarity until after the interaction is over.
Hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I think is one of the best tools in your tool belt is to suspend judgment. So I don't know what it means, yet I believe that you're much better off being open-minded and inquisitive. They keep doing this thing. I wonder what that means. Wow, they did it again. Does it mean this? Does it mean that? I wonder what's doing that. That's a much better position than, hey, they're doing that thing. It must mean this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How do you know if it means that thing? I don't know. So in my world, I think you're much better off being open-minded and inquisitive than making an assumption and not having enough information to know that your assumption is well-founded.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay to just not know sometimes instead of,
sure.
I mean, it's really kind of human nature to want to figure things out or understand. So I guess I think there's some power in just sometimes not knowing.
Yeah. I mean, I want to know too. I mean, you know me personally. I've known you for what seems like forever. So because you know me, you'll know this is true, that I'm a freak about wanting to know what's going on. Like, I'm super inquisitive, and I want to know. I'm curious like crazy. I want to know. I want to solve problems. I just, that's how I operate. And yet, it's these assumptions where we think we know that get us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think the place where I'm much more empowered in the exchange, in the relationship, to be observant and keep looking for clues and stay open-minded until I figure it out, I'm much better doing that than to assume, oh, it must mean this. Now I'm behaving. Like, let's say that cross their arms. Let's say they cross their arms, and I automatically interpret that means that they're closed to my message and they don't like what I'm saying. Now, if they're cold instead, and yet I now am operating as if they don't like what I'm saying. So in the middle of the conversation, what happens? I start defending myself and softening the message and start curbing it. And now I start to change because I think they are protecting them. They don't like what I have to say. And so now I start justifying and rationalizing. Now my message changes. but that's not what's going on for them.
Mm-hmm. Because of projection.
Yeah, I start projecting. Well, I do that. I think most people start to do that. So I'm just recommending mm-hmm. that you refrain from making those judgments until you have a really good handle on what's really going on. And one of the tools to help us figure that out is, instead of saying, oh, they lean back in their chair, that means they're contemplating. Maybe they have a sore back. So I'm giving these examples, hopefully, that we will not be so quick to assume and not be so fast to judge. And the longer we can stay open-minded and in curiosity, the easier it is to be connected with the client. My goal is to keep my sensory acuity open. I want to keep noticing. The moment that I say, oh, it must mean this, I stop looking.
Cool. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, great question. Thanks. Cool. So I hope that's helpful. All right, now let's move into the language side of cause and effect, right? That was the rapport side of cause and effect, looking for the cause of their behavior, what's driving it, blah, 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 et cetera. So now what about the language side of cause and effect? Well, this one's a tiny bit deeper. So let me give you a one minute crash course on physics. So all of us were raised in a paradigm called the Newtonian paradigm. If you take basic high school physics, it's all based on the work of Isaac Newton. And in a nutshell, Isaac Newton is the guy who, quote unquote, discovered gravity. The story goes, whether it's true or not, I don't know, he was sitting or riding or meditating under a tree, and I think an apple fell out of the tree and hit him on the head. And he had this aha, that, funny, the apples don't fall left or right or up. They always fall straight down. There must be some force that pulls things towards the earth. And so there must be a force where two bodies are attracted to each other. I'm going to call that force gravity. And so this was the beginning of Newton's laws of physics. And it started from the gravitational constant, right? We have gravity. And it evolved to a couple of different laws. The one that we're interested in is his first law, which is the law of inertia. And that says an object in motion stays in motion until it's acted on by an outside force. That means if you roll a bowling ball down the bowling lane, it'll keep going in that same direction at that same speed forever until it's acted upon by an outside force. Here on Earth, we have friction and air resistance and that sort of thing. So eventually those outside forces have an impact. And an object at rest stays at rest, meaning if you put your car keys on the counter, they stay there until you move them, right? That's one of the laws. The other law, his other laws are the force law. Force is mass times acceleration. Who cares? And then the third law of motion is the one that shows up in language and the way in which we communicate. And that is, and you've all heard this, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Right? You've all heard that hundreds of times. That means if you kick a stray dog, you're going to get bit. It means when you go over the speeding limit, you're likely going to get a ticket. Things have consequences. If you do this, that's going to happen. If you do that, this is going to happen. If you lie and cheat and steal and rob and kill and murder, you're likely going to go to jail. Like, things have consequences. This thing causes that consequence. And so the way in which we've been taught to think this way is in the basic examples, like how they do it in high schools, is they'll do the example of like shooting pool. If you've ever played pool on a pool table, is you pick up the cue stick, the pool stick, and you hit the cue ball, the white ball, and the pool stick, the pool cue, causes the cue ball to shoot down the table. And it hits the ball. Now, the cue ball causes the four ball to shoot off in the angle in which it was struck. And now the four ball hits, say, the bumper. Now, the bumper causes the four ball to ricochet off on the opposite angle that it entered, right? If it comes in, it bounces off at the opposite angle. Now, the bumper causes it to bounce back. And let's say now the four ball hits the eight ball. Now, the four ball causes the eight ball to fall in the pocket. All right? So this is called a chain of causality. The cue stick caused the cue ball to hit the four ball, which caused the four ball to hit the bumper, which caused the, right, blah, 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 blah. So the question is, what caused the eight ball to fall in the pocket? Was it the four ball? Was it the bumper? Was it the cue ball? Was it you? Was it the cue stick? What was it that caused that to happen? Right, this is the same way the police reconstruct accidents. They look at skid marks and weights, and they say, wow, based on what happened here, it looks like the yellow car hit the blue car, and then the blue car smashed into the guardrail, which caused the blue car to slide into the school bus, which caused the school bus to go into the ditch, which caused the bus to flip over, which caused this, and this caused that, and this caused that. And they back them all up to find out, what's the thing that started it all? What's the cause? What's the cause that made it all happen? So what's so interesting about this is, sorry about the physics lecture, I hope it was helpful and insightful for you. What's interesting about this is that this is the way human beings think now. This is the way we think. This caused that. So whenever something happens, good or bad, why did this happen? What caused that to happen? And so the interesting part is when we begin to speak inside the structure of cause and effect, because human beings all operate as if we live in this cause and effect world, speaking in the structure of cause and effect is always processed as factual from the listener. So one side note, and then we'll get to the first technique, is because I like language and blah, 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 the word excuse comes from the Latin two parts. The first part is ex, which means no, and cusa, which means cause. So excuse means no cause. Basically, an excuse means I'm not at cause. I have an excuse. So a plausible excuse, a good excuse, is the claim that there was nothing about it. There's no manageable cause, which is never true, right? There's always a cause. So because people think in terms of cause and that we live in the cause and effect world, simply speaking inside the structure of cause and effect generates agreement with the client, right? Because we all think this caused that, this is the way that works. And speaking in the structure generates more agreement and has the client absorb the material, the customer absorb the material, because it's cause and effect, of course that's true. So we've been indoctrinated for many, many years to follow cause creates effect. Cause creates effect. Do your homework, which means you'll get good grades, which means you get to go to college, which means you'll get a good job. This means that, causes that, proves that, generate whatever. So instead of cause creates effect, we're going to say pace causes lead. Pace causes lead. So, and not just pace causes lead. We're going to say pace causes lead, pace proves lead, pace creates lead, pace urges lead, pace determines lead, pace verifies lead, pace proves lead, pace motivates lead, right? The big list of them there. So listen to the way that these flow and are so readily absorbed. This first example says, right, so we're sitting at the kitchen table, whatever, we're looking at some comparables, and we say something like, just seeing the list price of this house, just seeing this list price of 1234 Main Street demonstrates that we're in a seller's market, and this is a great time for you to sell. Okay, so what happens, because we're looking at the list price of 1234 Main Street, because we're looking at it, and we say, just looking at this price, it's a pace, right, because I'm saying what we're doing, just looking at this price, yes, we are, I'm already a yes, demonstrates we're in a seller's market. So yeah, prices demonstrate the determination of the market. So just seeing this price demonstrates we're in a seller's market. In this case, in this example, I use two leads. Pace causes lead and lead. In this case, I said just seeing this price demonstrates it's a seller's market and a great time to list your house. So what happens when we say just seeing this price demonstrates that this is happening in the market? Yeah, that's easy to absorb. Now, what if instead you had said, hey, we're in a seller's market statement? Yes, no, maybe, I don't know. Are you biased? Are you trying to force me to do something? Maybe. Making that statement puts the client in. Instead, I want the client in absorb mode and structure, various structures of pacing and leading, like last week, if pace, then lead. The more you pace, the more you lead, blah, blah, blah. This week, we're doing pace causes lead. All right, next example. Knowing that you sold 6 houses last year, right? That's got to be true. It's got to be something I know. It's got to resonate as a pace for that agent. Knowing that you sold 6 houses last year means that when you join my team, you'll at least double that number. So how do they know that that lead is true? They don't. They don't know that that's true. However, the pace is true. Sold 6 houses last year. And the structure of causality, knowing that you sold 6 homes means this other thing. That structure, knowing that I sold 6 homes means whatever it means. In this case, we're using causality to leverage the pace into a lead that we want the client to absorb, right? That's the definition of a lead. Something we want them to see, hear, absorb, whatever. All right, 2 more really quick, and then we're going to write some. So have your pencil ready, or pen, or iPad, or whatever. So being committed to raise a happy family, pace, justifies we should limit how much time the kids are exposed to the TV. All right, one more time. Being committed to raising a happy family, ding, 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 pace, justifies limiting TV. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Easy to absorb. Number 4, knowing both parties have expanded the size and scope of government illustrates it's time to vote for a third party. Right? Anybody who's paying attention gets that. It's a pace. Knowing that both parties, it doesn't matter who's in charge, they're spending more and going to more and doing things that are breaking their promises. What choice do we have? Vote for a third party. Knowing this thing is true illustrates this other thing. The last one here, number 5, is self-talk. For me, for you, whoever. Wanting to grow my business, pace, ding, 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 yep. Wanting to grow my business compels me to focus on lead gen, raising my level of contribution. Okay? So, please write one. Right now, right now. Take out your pencil, your iPad, whatever, and do some pace causes some lead. Some pace proves some lead. Some pace generates some lead, whatever. Whatever that looks like. So I would recommend that you start with an intention, right? So if your intention is, I got an investor, then What do I want the investor? What lead do I want? Where do I want to go? I don't know. Maybe turn one of my clients who's not an investor into an investor. So what do I want them to know? My lead might be something like, well, let's make your money work for you instead of you working for your money. That might be a great lead. So what's the pace? Well, what do they want? Well, what did they tell me? They told me, you know, I want to leave an awesome legacy for my children. So I might want something like pace, wanting to leave a legacy for your children, pace. How do I know that's pace? They just told me. Wanting to leave a legacy for your children means we need to get your money working for you. So let's start buying you some rental houses. I don't know, something like that. Okay, so just for me, just so I know I'm not talking into dead space here, let's hear one or two of these examples. I want to feel good that you guys are following along. And we have two more things to do, so I want to make sure that we get part one before I jump to part two and part three. So who has one they'd like to share? Pace causes lead. Okay, don't all speak at once here. By the way, who is this? On my dashboard, I have most people's names, so I see you when you're here. Who is this in area 424? Who is that? I just have a number, but I don't know who that is. Hello, hello. Wow, nobody's gonna do an example today. Wow. And who is that in 424? Will you tell me who you are? I don't even know where 424 is. Huh. Okay. Wow, you guys are crazy quiet today. Interesting. All right, let's do part two. And then part three, you're going to create from scratch. So be paying attention and be tuned in. So that was part one, which was cause and effect. That was, there's two different styles of cause and effect. That was the first one. That was, my phone is ringing off the hook. That was the first one called direct cause and effect. So now we're going to do what's called implied cause and effect. Implied cause and effect is the same. It's just a little smoother and a little more conversational. So instead of pace causes lead, right? Pace causes lead. The causal word, causes, proves, justifies, whatever, is showcased in the middle. Pace causes lead. Pace proves lead. That's the causal link is directly showcased. Now we're going to move into implied cause and effect. And instead of saying pace causes lead, we're going to say, you know, as you pace, comma, leads happen. While we pace, comma, leads occur. So the kickoff for the implied cause and effect are, and they're also called implied or direct, indirect or implied, same thing. They are as, while, once, during, since, because, now, that, whatever. Notice those are the same thing as temporal presuppositions that we learned several weeks ago. Now, we're not using them to assume something new. What we're doing is we're using them to assume the lead. To assume the pace. While you pace, leads are happening. Because you pace, comma, leads occur. All right, so listen to this first example, and I'll parallel it back to the direct so you can see the difference. This one says, when you see the list price of 1234 Main Street, again, when you see this price, comma, you'll realize we're in a seller's market, and it's a great time for you to sell. Now, when it was a direct cause and effect, previous example, notice the examples are the same, they're different structures. As a direct, just seeing this price demonstrates we're in a seller's market. Right now we're saying, when you see the price, you'll realize we're in a seller's market. Feel the difference? Number two says, because you sold 6 houses last year, pace. Joining my team will drive that number up past 12. When it was a direct cause and effect, we said, knowing that you only sold 6 means when you join my team, you'll double your volume. And again, as implied, because you sold 6, joining my team will drive that number up. Okay, number 3 implied, since we're committed to building happy, well-adjusted family, we should filter the kind of TV that the kids watch. Right? Since we're committed, we should filter. When it was a direct cause and effect, we said being committed justifies limiting. Now we're saying because we're committed, let's filter. Right? It's the same thing. One direct is a little more obvious. It's a little more forceful. Implied is a little smoother, a little more communicative, a little more communication-based, a little more conversational. Okay, really quick, then we're going to build them, and then I'm going to give you the magic bullet that's not in the homework, that's not written in your handout, but we're going to do that live here in just 1 minute. So last two. Number 4, because both parties have expanded size and scope of government, it's time to vote for a third party. Last one is self-talk. Now that I'm committed to grow my business, ACE, I focus on lead gen, raising my level of contribution. Okay, now I know that might be a little confusing because they're so similar. Two different ways of saying the same thing. All right, questions, comments, ahas, anything?
Joel?
Yes.
When you had asked us to write a sentence, you had muted me, or someone had muted me, and I couldn't get back in.
So, oh, okay.
I apologize. So I hung up and called back.
Okay.
So I did write a sentence, but it's
fire away.
In the course. Okay. I can appreciate that you'd like me to cut my commission, and by asking me to cut my commission means you see us working together, don't you?
So Doug mixed in a whole bunch of stuff there. So listen to this again. Hey, would you cut your commission? So they asked.
Well, I can appreciate that you'd like me to cut.
Okay. Well, so hold on. You're using some objection handling stuff that we haven't gotten to yet. So I'm going to kind of water it down and just focus on this technique out of what you did. So the customer said, hey, would you cut your commission? So now it's on the table. The client asked for a commission reduction. So using this technique, Douglas said, because you asked, or simply asking me to cut the commission means that you'd like to work together. Do you see what he did there? The client says, will you cut your commission? And he leveraged the pace from the client, will you cut the commission, saying, asking me to cut the commission, pace, yes, I did ask you. Right, now as the client, I'm already a yes. Yes, I did ask you. Asking me to cut the commission means you'd like to work together. Well, yes, of course I would. That's why I'm trying to work it out here. So instead of taking it head on, Doug used it as a way to shore up the agreement from the client. Yeah, I'd like to work it out. Very good. He did some other things in there too, right? He had a tie-down question, and he did a repeat and approve pattern, an agreement frame that we'll get to here in a couple of weeks. Right? He's been here before. Okay, so now what we're doing is this is really the important part, right? That's all the groundwork. We got 10 or 12 minutes or whatever to really iron this out. So here's the thing I'd like you to write. So I'd like you all to write an implied cause and effect statement. Because of this pace, that lead happens. Since we're pacing, that lead occurs. Right? So start with what do you know? That's the pace. And where do you want to go? That's the lead. Right? So that might be because you want the most money possible, ding, 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 pace, we should get on the market right away. Lead. Okay, so I'm going to give you a tool to use, but I want you to do it on one that you have on your paper. So please write one of your own. And I'd like to hear a couple of those because we're going to use what you just wrote to do step three, and step three is not in your workbook, so I want you to write it down. So write one. Because I sold your last three houses, comma, you should feel good knowing I'll take care, good care of you here. Sign the contract. Whatever. Okay, so you're all writing an implied cause and effect structure. Because pace, comma, lead, since pace, comma, lead, during pace, comma, lead, now that pace, comma, lead, whatever. And then star six, unmute yourself and share them. I'd like to hear a couple. Okay, don't all speak at once. It's,
I have one.
Joel.
Okay, hold on. I heard Alexis. I think I heard Alexis. My computer screen said Alexis beat you to the punch. So Alexis, please.
Yeah. Because inventory is so low right now, you should feel confident that your house will sell quickly.
Great. Because inventory is so low, Ace. Now, you want to make sure that the client realizes the inventory is low. That's something that realtors know. And
okay.
If a little old lady needs to sell her house, may or may not know that. So
mm-hmm.
Just make sure that you've had the conversation, that they have a sense that that's true and factual, and that you're not feeding that. Like, if that's the first time they, really, the inventory is low, then it loses its power. If when they know that, the inventory is way low, everybody knows that. Did you see that? There's nothing for sale on my street. The two signs that came up sold in 5 minutes. Inventory is crazy. Like, when they know that that's true, then it's a pace for them, and a pace registers an automatic yes. Okay, so let's assume that they know it's true. And then your sentence again, assuming that's true, is because inventory is so low, pace, then what was the lead?
You should feel confident that your house will sell quickly.
Great. Then you should feel confident, instead of command, that your house will sell quickly. Perfect. Because inventory is low, pace, feel confident your home will sell quickly. Perfect. Just like that. Okay, now hold on to that. We're going to play with that one in just a minute. I want to hear a couple more because I want you guys to work on the ones that you wrote. So, Alexis, that was perfect. Thank you. Douglas, I think, was next.
Yeah, this one I'm just going to weigh in. Because you invited me here today, you should begin to feel good knowing that you've made a smart choice.
Good, a little bit long, but good. Because you've invited me over today, that's perfect because you're standing in the living room, right? That's a very strong pace. Because you invited me over, because we're standing in your living room, whatever. Because you invited me over, now what was your lead? That felt a little long. So what was it again?
You should begin to feel good knowing you've made a smart choice.
Okay, you should feel good knowing that you made a smart choice. Good. I think the lead is okay. I think it's they haven't made a choice yet. They've only invited you over. The structure is right. The lead, it's so-so.
Okay.
Right. So what would be a lead that would be really easy for them to digest? Because you've invited me over, comma, let's make the most of our time and get it handled right now. right? That might be a little easier to digest. Helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Douglas. Anybody else have one? I wanted to make sure I had at least a couple of these. Anybody else have one they want to share? Wow, this is the quiet group. All right, so my request then is that you take the implied cause and effect that you just wrote, that one that you just wrote, and then stick a direct cause and effect on the end, which means it'll sound like this. I'm going to use example number one on the implied side so you guys can follow along. That example says, when you see this list price of 1234 Main Street, when you see the list price, comma, you'll realize it's a seller's market. So now I'm saying stick a direct cause, actually stick a direct effect on the back of that, which is going to sound like this. When you see this list price, comma, you'll realize we're in a seller's market, which proves we should get your home on the market now. When you see the list price, case, you'll realize we're in a seller's market, which means this is the very best time for you to sell. Okay, so this is one of my favorite structures, an implied cause and effect with another lead, with a direct lead on the back. Right, because you invited me over to your home, Ace, it's a perfect opportunity for us to work out the details, come up with a value, and find out what we can do for you, which means we should probably fill out the paperwork tonight. Something like that. Okay. Would anybody like to read the one that they wrote? It's an implied plus a direct. An implied plus a direct. Because you sold six houses last year, comma, joining my team will drive that number up past 12, which means you will double your volume doing the same amount of work. That kind of thing. Because you're in this class, you're learning all kinds of new tools, which proves you should be practicing so you get good at using these tools. Like that. Okay. Anybody want to read one?
I know, I'm trying too hard to
Hey, this is Jimmy.
Jimmy, please.
So, having heard on this, I said that because your home was off the market last year, you should put your home on the market now to get a higher price.
Okay, good. So you did that. That's the first half. That's the indirect, right? Because your home, because you wanted to sell the home last year, right? That's true. It was on the market last year. Because you tried to sell the home last year, Ace, you'll have much better, you'll have better results with the market this year lead, which means we should probably get it listed right now. Direct lead, right? So it's,
I like that.
It's implied pace lead. Mm-hmm. Direct lead. So because you wanted to sell last year, or because you didn't sell last year, you'll have better results this year,
yeah.
Which proves we should get you on the market right now and exposed. Something like that.
That would be a good one for expired.
Yeah, a great one for expired. Right? Because you wanted to sell but were unable to, comma, you should try again in this hot seller's market lead. Which means we should get together this week and look at your current value. Something like that.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. So again, this is another reason why I'm not a big fan of scripts, because scripts are a one-size-fits-all attempt at a solution. And I don't know what the seller's size is. I don't know what the seller needs. So this is why I'd rather listen, and I'd rather just speak to the seller. Yet when we speak inside this structure, I get yes most of the time. All right, we have a whopping 2 or 3 minutes left.
I have one.
Questions, comments, examples? Yes, Alexis.
Okay, so forgive me if this is totally jumbled. Because
good.
You had very few showings at this price, it tells us you're listed too high, so reducing the price will get your house in contract.
Good. Let's be a little tiny bit stronger on the direct, which means
okay.
Because you had few showings at this price, comma, what was your first lead?
It tells us you're listed too high.
Yeah. So let's, instead of it tells us, let's say the buyers think
okay.
It's too high, right? Because we had so few showings at this price, comma, the buyers think the price is too high, which means, which proves, which illustrates.
Which proves, okay.
Which proves it's time for us to reduce.
That sounds much better. Thank you.
Something like that. Yeah, when you practice, when you do your homework, this is not just for her, but for everybody, my recommendation is that you make these as short as possible. Like really focus on just the technique. And then, because the goal here is you're not trying to write a script. The goal here is you're learning to wax on, wax off. You're building muscle memory. And then when you're in the real world, you're toe-to-toe with a client, you'll fill in all the right stuff. You know how to do all that already. Just practice this and try to practice it as short as possible. Trust me, it'll pay off.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Can I try with you?
Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Because you're committed to netting the most amount of money means you'll want to hear a powerful business plan, right?
Okay, so that was kind of a hybrid. You said because you want to net the most amount of money, by the way, that's one of the best paces ever, because unless it's a foreclosure or a short sale, that's always true, right? Because you want the most money possible. Now, because is an opening for an indirect. And you said because you want the most money possible means, right? So you did kind of a hybrid of the two. So let's try this.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because you want the most money possible, comma, what was your lead?
Proves that you are open to hearing my a powerful business plan.
Okay, good. Because you want the most money possible, comma, you must be open to hearing some marketing suggestions. Lead, which means we should get together this week so you can hear mine. Something like that.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you want the most money possible, comma, marketing is going to be very important to get maximum exposure, which proves you'll want to see what I'm doing. which justifies sitting down with me to see how I'm making it happen for my clients. Something like that.
Thank you.
Helpful? Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So this is week 9. We have 10, 11, and 12, which means this week right here, right now, is the end of these kind of techniques. Next week, we begin the process of the objection handling portion. And we're going to do objection handling for a couple of weeks. And then week 12, we kind of blend all the soup together and mix it all up. 12 is kind of the glue that pieces all the pieces together. And the next 2 weeks, we do objection handling structure and tools and techniques. So please, pretty please, bring with you next week whatever objections are getting in your way. And again, in this group with me, no topic is off limits. So if your problem is you can't get a date, bring that objection. If the problem is you can't get your kids to do their homework, bring those objections. Bring whatever they are, and in the next 2 weeks, we will obliterate them. So we start that process next week. Please bring your toughest objections next week, and we'll handle them. And I think that's it for today. So as usual, thanks for being here. You guys rock, and I'll see you all in a week. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Joel. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joel.
Welcome. Bye, everybody. See you next time.